This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 111.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to get yourself PR ready for 2017. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, you've probably noticed that there's no interview today. It's just me. And I do normally have a guest on a Friday, but I just felt this was such an important topic that I really wanted to spend a little bit more time on it. So it's just me, but I'm going to be sharing my best tips and strategies to make sure that you have PR success in 2017. As ever, I love hearing from you about how you're finding the show. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me @jan_murray, or you can find me on Instagram @janmurrayuk. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can plan your PR for 2017 and how you can make sure that you really maximise your chances of getting lots of coverage in newspapers, magazines and on radio and TV. And I'm also going to be sharing my top tip, the one thing that I really think you should do if you want to make sure that you get loads of media coverage in the coming year. Now, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you've probably noticed that this isn't an interview episode. So this episode is going out on a Friday in the middle of November 2016, if you're listening in the future. And usually on a Friday, I do have a guest, but I just felt that this episode was so important in terms of getting you set up for the coming year that I just wanted to spend a little bit more time. So if you were expecting an interview, then that's why. And I would grab a pen and paper, because I think that you're going to find lots and lots of useful stuff in this episode. So the one thing that I think you need to do if you want to really, really make sure you get loads of media coverage in the coming year is you need to create a media calendar. So by that, I mean you need to map out the whole of the coming year. You need to get down all the key dates, the key anniversaries, all the key awareness days that are coming up, so you can plan ahead and you can think about where there are going to be points in the year where journalists are going to be talking about particular things that really relate to your area of expertise, and you can be ready for that, and you can have story ideas ready, and you can be pitching well in advance. Now, if this whole thing is new to you, don't worry, I'm going to talk you through it step by step, but it really is the one thing that I think is worth doing if you really want to maximise your chances of getting media coverage in the coming year. So I've provided for you in the show notes a media calendar. So it's my own media calendar that I've created that will help you to do this. It's really beautiful looking and it comes with instructions on how to do it. So not only can you listen to this episode, but you can also download the calendar and the link is in the show notes. And then this will remind you of the instructions of how to do everything that I will talk about in this episode. However, the one thing that you won't get on that calendar is all the listings of the awareness days, which I'm going to talk about in this episode. If you want that, then it'd be a good idea for you to grab one of my 2017 media diaries, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end. But for now, just know that there's a media calendar that you can download with all the instructions on that you can use as a starting point. But I really would recommend, if you want to save yourself some time, do grab one of my media diaries, and more on that later. So first off, how do you set about putting together your media calendar? Well, the first thing that I say to people is you need to give yourself time to do this. This is not a job that you fit in around other things. This is not something that you do when you've got a spare 10 minutes, spare half an hour here or there. Well, you can try and do it there. But to be honest, I find that when I've tried to do it like that, it's not very productive and it's not a very creative experience. So clear a morning or clear an afternoon or an evening, but basically you need a good block of time, maybe 2 or 3 hours, just to sit down and map this all out. And if you haven't worked out already, mapping out your media opportunities, so thinking about the key dates, the key awareness days, the key anniversaries, all of this stuff that's going to be talked about in the media is also going to help you with your social media content. So you're going to be able to do some planning around that. And also if you're a content marketer, so if you've got a blog or a podcast or a blog or any kind of content that you create for your audience is going to help you with planning this. So you're not just killing two birds in one stone, you're probably killing several birds in one stone. So it's a really, really useful thing to do. So get yourself somewhere where you've got no distractions. Download my calendar or grab a copy of my diary. Actually, I would recommend you probably use the calendar first to map out your ideas and then actually put it into the diary afterwards, but more on that later. But grab a space. If I was you, get yourself somewhere where you can put all of the calendar blanks out on a table where you've got pens and pencils, you've got everything you need, and you'll need to have your computer handy or even just your phone or just somewhere basically where you can look things up online. So the idea is to map out all the key dates, all the key awareness days, all the key anniversaries. I feel like I've said that a number of times already, but it's just so important. I'm going to walk you through the order in which you should do this to make sure that you don't leave anything out. So the first thing that I would say is to start with the blinking obvious. So it might sound a little bit silly to say that you're going to put Christmas on your media calendar or Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or Father's Day. Now, this is not to insult your intelligence. It's just that I know that when we're all busy, it's easy to forget these things. So it might be that you've got a great story around Valentine's Day. You've got a great idea, but you're so busy working on your business or working in your business that you get to February the 1st and you suddenly think, oh yeah, I had that really good idea that I was going to pitch around Valentine's Day. That's probably too late. So if you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that most magazines, or glossy magazines, work at least 3 to 6 months ahead. Some of the weekly sections in newspapers, you might think because it's in a daily newspaper that it's been produced the day before, it may well have been put together 6-8 weeks ago. The Sunday supplements, all of that stuff will have been created quite a long time in advance. It doesn't mean that things don't change at the last minute, but just be aware that lead times are often much, much longer than you think. So if you suddenly start thinking around the beginning of February that you might have an idea around Valentine's Day, you're probably too late for lots of publications, particularly monthly ones and ones with weekly sections. So just bear that in mind. And this is why putting down the blinking obvious is so important. So Christmas, Valentine's Day, Halloween, the start of the summer holidays, and that obviously will depend where you are in the world. The end of the summer holidays, the time when you're likely to get snows, you could put down the first snow day or something like that, just to remind you to be thinking about that. If you know you normally get snow on a certain month or whatever, you can put a note on that so that you've kind of thought about that in advance. Just all the really, really obvious stuff. So get that down, start with that. Then the next things that I would add would be political events. So this can range from party political conferences to budget days to spending review days. That's what we have in the UK, but also key world political events. So things like the G20, things like January the 20th, I think it is off the top of my head. We've got the inauguration of the new US president, Donald Trump. Never thought I'd be saying that, but hey. So all of those kind of world political events, and also ones which are particular to your part of the world, get those all on the calendar. Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, you know, I run a beauty business or I run a holiday let business. What would any of this have to do with my business? But actually, all of us are affected by political events. So we're affected by taxation in the UK. If there's a change in the rules around I'm VAT registered, for example, value added tax, that could hurt small business owners like me. There's all sorts of things to do with politics which affect you. I mean, some of my clients at the moment, I've got quite a lot of clients who are coaches of some sort, and they're writing pieces for the Huffington Post about leadership based on the outcome of the US election. And there's just always opportunities to hook into politics. And the reason is because politics affects all of our lives. So when the government is creating new policies, when it's bringing in new laws, when it's ending laws, all of this stuff affects us. And actually, these are the kind of things that journalists are interested in reporting on in the media. Now, while you might be wanting them to write wonderful pieces about how brilliant your business is, they're probably going to be much more interested in you feeding into the national news agendas. So just get all of that stuff down and just start thinking about, is there anywhere that you've got an angle on it? So that example that I just gave, for example, about some of my clients who are coaches, they've been busy pitching stories or pitching opinion articles around leadership and management based on the election. And that's the kind of thinking that you need to be doing if you really want to up your press coverage. So get all of that stuff down. So the next one I would add would be awareness days. Now, my media diary that I've put together, just a quick bit of background on this. Last year, I created a media calendar like the free one that you can download with this episode. And it basically just had all of the days and months of the year, and you could place it out on your desk and you can map out all these sort of key dates I'm talking about now. The one thing it didn't have, and people kept asking me about it, was awareness days. They kept saying, well, you know, there's a national awareness day for everything from cancer to World Jazz Appreciation Day to, I think there's even a World Orgasm Day. So people were asking whether those things were on there, because obviously having a calendar with all of those things on there will save you time. So well worth doing some research. There's loads and loads. If you just Google awareness days, you will find dozens of sites which will give you awareness days from everything under the sun, for quite serious things, you know, like refugees and asylum seekers, to the most flippant things like National Cream Donut Week and that kind of thing. So all of those things, actually, depending on what you do, can be used as a hook or a peg for a story. Now, when we talk about hooks or pegs, that's basically the kind of word or phrase that journalists use to talk about the reason for doing a story. So every time you pitch to a journalist, they will often say, what's the hook? What's the peg? Or they will think to themselves, why do people need to hear about this now? So having all these kind of awareness days down in your character can give you a hook or a peg for a story that you might like to pitch. However, this does come with a word of caution. Some journalists that I know are so saturated with awareness days, because obviously there's an awareness day for everything, that alone is not enough to get coverage. So it's not enough to go to a journalist and say, it's baby loss awareness week, so would you like to do a story on the fact that I lost a baby? Now, although that's really awful for you and I've experienced it myself, that's not going to be strong enough probably for a journalist to want to run a story on it, just because it's miscarriage awareness week and you lost a baby. However, what you can do is you can use these awareness days to do something. So you might create a campaign of your own. It might be that you commission some research, or you use something like Google surveys to ask a question and to get some responses in the form of a survey that you can use to put a story idea together. So an awareness day alone is not generally enough for a journalist to say yes, but knowing when those awareness days are and thinking about how you might be able to use those awareness days to generate some story ideas, that's really where the gold is going to be for you. And the more of them you've got on your calendar, the more inspired you'll be and you will start to think of ideas. So just to give you a very quick example, Miscarriage Awareness Day is generally on the 15th of October. And a couple of years ago, I wrote a piece for The Guardian's Women in Leadership section, which sadly no longer exists anymore. And it was about why we need to talk more about miscarriage at work. So that particular topic was very relevant to that particular section. And it really is about getting in the right story in the right publication, or certainly pitching the right story to the right publication. So I went to the editor of that section and said to her, look, I found it really hard when I had a miscarriage, and I found it really difficult to manage all the work stuff around it and telling people and talking to people. I didn't really want to talk about it. And she said, yeah, that sounds perfect for our audience. So I didn't just go and say, hey, it's Miscarriage Awareness Day, let me write something for you. I actually had an angle, I had a story and an experience that I felt would be really, really relevant and interesting to her audience. So it's just, you just need to really think about, the awareness day is not enough. It's just, how can you offer something unique? How can you offer something fresh? It might just be that you've got a personal experience like mine, which was very strong, which works on its own. It might be that you need to do something like hold an event or launch a little campaign, or even could be a hashtag or something that you launched on Twitter, or you could do something on Instagram or whatever, but you do need to be doing something. Generally, the awareness day is not enough. And if you want to know more about this, if you want to get more information on this, have a listen to episode 8, which is called Beware of Awareness Days. I've also written a blog post on it, which I'll link to in the show notes as well. And that will give you a little bit more detail about this. So the next thing I would get on your calendar is court cases. Now, this is something, and this is worth pointing out actually generally, that your media diary or calendar, whatever you decide to create, is not a static document. So you're going to be adding and updating it all the time. And actually, I would recommend that you just spend 10-15 minutes a week just having a look at it and updating it and looking 2 or 3 months ahead, basically, because things will come up, new awareness days will be announced, new campaigns, new things will happen, and you do need to add those. It's not a static document, it's a working document. So court cases are actually quite a good example. So one of the things you can do as you're going along is, if you spot a court case which relates to your area of expertise, then you can have a look at when the judge is likely to reach a verdict. And you'll never get that exactly because these things aren't exact, but you can just mark on your calendar the week or month you think there's going to be a verdict. Just keep an eye on it and then you can pop up. So an example that I often use is if you're a restaurant owner, for example, or you have some kind of food business, there was a big story in the UK where a restaurant was being sued, I think, for serving burgers that were pink in the middle. And this got quite a lot of press coverage. And around the time that the judge gave his or her verdict, you could easily just sort of pop up and say to, could be local, so a local newspaper or radio station, look, if you're doing anything on this, I also own a restaurant, I've got some experiences on this I can share, or I'm also a food blogger or whatever it might be. You could even go national with that to say, look, if you're covering this story, I can give you a bit of an insight into it. Actually serving pink burgers is fine, or whatever it might be. But basically it's about kind of just having that marked on your diary and then just being ready to swing into action when something happens. And this will be kind of an ongoing thing, but it's worth kind of starting out if there are any court cases going on that relate to your particular area of expertise, get them on your calendar in this first session because that will get you into good habits. The other thing I would put on there is upcoming films, books, TV programs. And people often ask me this. So, okay, well, how do I do that? How do I know what's coming out? Well, if you're generally keeping an eye on the news, you will spot things that are coming up. So you will spot that there's a new Bridget Jones film coming out, or you will spot that the new Star Wars film is coming out on a particular day or whatever. So you can just, when you see it, just quickly make a note in your media diary. And I mean, I missed a really good opportunity on this, actually. So when I was bringing my book out back in the summer, I totally missed this. I don't know how, but there was an Ab Fab film coming out. For those people who don't know Ab Fab, it was a British comedy program based around two women who ran a PR agency who were absolutely bonkers and seemed to spend the whole time drinking champagne and not doing much PR. This would have been a perfect hook. They made a film of it, basically. This would have been a perfect hook for me. But I somehow missed it and only picked it up on the week my book was coming out. So experts make mistakes too and miss things. So it's just really worth if you see it. I probably did see it and subconsciously I just was probably busy and didn't make a note of it. But if you see something that you think a film that's about something that you have got some expertise on, you know, there was a film a little while back called Bridesmaids. And if you run any kind of wedding related business, then obviously that will be a great hook for you. So when you see something, you think, yeah, that's my area of expertise, just make a note of when it's coming out and then do the count back on the lead times and think, okay, well, if I wanted to get something in a monthly or weekly magazine, how far ahead would I need to be getting in touch? Or, you know, radio and TV tend to have kind of similar-ish lead times depending on the program. So just to backtrack a little bit, people often say, well, how do I find out about this stuff? So first of all, keep an eye out, just a general eye. The second thing is you can identify production companies that make TV programs that relate to your area of expertise or the kind of thing that you think would be relevant to you. So if you look at, I don't know, a program like Jamie's School Dinners or something like that. So that was a program, for those who are not from the UK, it was the British chef who made a whole series about going into schools and improving the school dinners. If that type of TV program you think really kind of relates to your area of expertise, I would find out the production company that makes that and get on their mailing list. They will have a mailing list where they'll send out press releases about programs that they're making. The thing with TV and radio, it can be really tough because often you don't get the broadcast schedule to so close. It can be like days before it actually goes out, which I know as a journalist can be really frustrating because often you want to do something on a new program, but you keep asking them, when's the TX date? When's the TX date? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we haven't got it. And often it comes out just days before your deadline date. But getting on their mailing list, you will get a sense of what's coming up and you can keep in touch with them about that kind of thing. With books, it's worth having a look at books. So if you see a book out and you think, God, you know, if I'd known about that, then I could have definitely jumped on that and used that as a hook for some of my media work, then find out who publishes that book. And you will probably find that they publish similar types of books. So, you know, if it's a cookbook, they probably publish a lot of cookbooks. If it's a fitness book, they probably publish other fitness books, and then get on their mailing list as well. And all of this is just basic common sense. It's just Googling. It's just picking up the phone and asking a few questions. This is the bit of PR that people don't want to put the work in on, but actually it's just so worth it. Yesterday, actually, one of my coaching clients was asking me about pitching to the online magazine, The Pool. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing. If she's listening, hello, Kate, but it's a really good example. And she was asking me about this idea that she had that she wanted to pitch, and she was saying she wanted to pitch it to the news editor. And I was saying, well, I don't think it's a news story. I think that's more of an opinion article. Try and find the section that you think your piece would fit into and then try and find out who edits that. She came back to me about half an hour later and said, I'm really glad I did that because I did find the section that I thought my piece fitted into, but then I found they'd already done the piece that I was going to pitch. So thanks for that. I'm not going to waste my time pitching that. So this is why, although it's horrible sometimes doing all of this research, it is just in the long run, it saves you tons of time, which is why it's so, so worth doing. So new bit books, TV programs, radio programs, keep an eye on all of that. And as you're doing your half-day planning session, you can do some research about what's coming up online while you're doing that and get some things in the diary. Also, anniversaries as well. In my media diary, we've got the 40th anniversary, I think that's right. Is it 40 years? Of the first Star Wars film. And that's gone in my media diary because I know there will be lots of press around that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a new film or a new TV program. It could actually be an anniversary of something, could be enough to provide a hook. The other thing as well when it comes to TV programs is that there'll be some TV programs that come round every year. So you will know around about the time that they come out again. So in the UK, Great British Bake Off always gets loads of press coverage. The Apprentice always gets loads of press coverage. Strictly Come Dancing, that is, always gets loads of press coverage. So just noting in your diary, just roughly the times of year that those shows are coming out, if they relate to your area of expertise, or if you think actually it's something that I might be able to feed into, then definitely get those on your diary. Just put a rough date based on when it ran this year, and then you can revisit that later in the year. So a really good example of this, and actually we covered this in episode 89 of my podcast. I interviewed Harriet Minter, who used to be the editor of the Women in Leadership section of The Guardian. And she told a story about how when The Apprentice was on, her assistant, Lottie, was they'd been watching The Apprentice and they were talking about it in the office. And there was an incident where one of the competitors put another one's cake in the bin or something like that. And everybody was talking about the fact on social media that that meant they weren't a team player and wasn't this awful. And Lottie turned around and said, well, it's a competition. Are you supposed to be a team player? And actually, I'm not a team player either. And Harriet said, you know, that would make a really great piece. So Lottie wrote a piece for the Women in Leadership section. So it was the right idea for the right publication. It did really, really well for them because a lot of people read it and said, yeah, I can identify with that. I'm not a team player either. So having all of this stuff on your diary and just doing this exercise, you will probably start to spark ideas. And they may not be ideas that you can use right now, but I have a number of ideas in my ideas book, if you like, of if this happened or this came up in the press or if this kind of thing happened on this show, I could offer this kind of article. So it might be an opinion article, it might be a how-to article or whatever, but I have a number of stories kind of stored up, which are kind of ready to go. And this is why this work is so, so, so important. The last thing, the next couple of things I think you should put onto your media calendar are anniversaries. So anniversaries, it could be happy things like the Queen's accession to the throne. So I think that's 65 years this year, 65 years since the Queen's first speech. If you're a royalist, I guess that's happy news, maybe not so much if you're not, but also sad things like anniversaries of death. So it's Princess Diana, it's 20 years since her death this August. So putting things like that on your calendar where you know there will be loads of programs around Princess Diana's death. There will be kind of conspiracy shows, I'm sure, people with theories about what really happened, that kind of thing, but there will also be kind of informational type programs. There will be coverage in the press, there will be interviews, there will be all sorts going on. So I think just having those on your diary and just knowing they're coming up may not be relevant to all of you, but for some of you, it will spark something and there will be some way that you could feed into that. So definitely get those on your calendar. The other thing you need to do as well with your planning is plan for the unexpected. So what I've just talked to you about there are on diary stories. So these are basically the things that you can predict, and journalists will map out across the year what they call their on diary stories. And you know, I'm a big fan in getting people to do what journalists do, because if you do what journalists do, if you plan in the same way, then you're thinking on the same page as them and you're much more likely to get a yes from them. So what I've just described are what journalists would call on diary stories. You also need to plan for off diary stories. So these are basically the things that you can't predict. So these are things like natural disasters, a celebrity doing something odd at an event or turning up in a funny dress at the Oscars or something like that. Could be a terrorist attack, that kind of thing. Now you might say, well, how can I plan for those things? Well, you can plan in terms of strategy. So what you can do is basically make it easy for yourself to find out about these things quickly so that you can act quickly. So just a simple thing, setting up Google Alerts so that you check in every morning, have Google Alerts for topics that relate to your areas of expertise. And the other thing is just keeping on top of the news. Now, that can be difficult if you're trying to run a business. I use Twitter a lot, actually. I just basically go into Twitter, have a look at what's trending, have a look at what people are talking about the most. And just a quick sort of 5 minutes in the morning usually sort of gives me an idea of, you know, what the big news stories are. And the key thing about doing that and making it a daily habit is that if you do spot something that really relates to your area of expertise, so for example, I wrote a piece for The Independent about prematurity. There was a new study that had come out saying that premature babies were more likely to be delinquents or something. And I had a premature baby and my daughter was born 11 weeks early. So I ended up writing a piece for The Independent on that, but I couldn't wait 3 days to write that. I had to write it on the day that report came out. So that all happened, you know, the story came out in the morning. I wrote the piece and it was up online probably by about 11 o'clock in the morning. So that's how quickly you need to be moving on this stuff. You need to be able to act fast. So do have a think about getting some strategy in place so that you are monitoring the news, you're monitoring what's going on, and you're in a position so that you can act quickly if something comes up that really relates to your area of expertise. So I hope you found that useful in terms of giving you some ideas about how you might plan out your PR for the coming year. I really would urge you, if you're really serious about this, obviously you can use my free media calendar. It's lovely. It looks beautiful. It's got instructions. The thing it hasn't got is some of the awareness. It hasn't got any awareness days on there. It hasn't got any anniversaries. It hasn't got any key events like, you know, religious events and sort of key times of the year when journalists are going to be talking about certain things. It hasn't got any of that on it. My media diary that I've created, and it really was in response to what people were asking me for last year, has over 1,000 awareness days on it and key events and anniversaries. It's actually, although I'm based in the UK, a lot of the awareness days are actually international. And I've, with things like Mother's Day and Father's Day, I've included the US version and the Australian version and also the UK version as well, so that you can look those up. There's also space for journalist contact details. There's also a week, each week has a page in the diary as well, so you can use it as your daily diary. There's checklists, there's space to map out your story ideas. It really is lovely, lovely looking. I put a post in my Facebook group the other day asking people who pre-ordered it what they liked about it, because I was writing my sales copy for when it actually kind of went live. And a lot of people were saying, it just looks beautiful. I just kind of want to have it on my desk, as well as being really, really useful. So I really would urge you to grab a copy of that. I think it will make a really, really big difference for you. And we can ship it out to you wherever you are in the world as well. So I hope you found it useful. As ever, I love hearing from you. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. You can tweet me @jan_murray. And you can find me on Instagram @JanMurrayUK. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.